Good morning, Kansas City. This is your host, Pastor Rodney Barlow of Lighthouse Church of Independence. We are located at 14411 East 33rd Street South in Independence, Missouri, 64055. Our phone number is 816-836-7466. And you can reach me by email at pastorbarlow@hotmail.com. Also, we have been talking so much about baptism, the new birth experience, the oneness of God, so many lessons, but of course, we spread them out every other week here on Gospel 1590, FM 106.1, as well as you that are listening on the internet. We've been talking about the oneness of God, baptism, and most importantly, the mode of being baptized, and we want to continue in that topic. To reiterate really quick, what we discussed 2 weeks ago was understanding that Peter was the one that was given the keys to the kingdom. Jesus told him that he would have the keys, which means he would have the access into the kingdom of God. Jesus also spoke to Nicodemus at night, a Pharisee, and he told him that he must be born again. And then our desire was to chronologically go through the order of what Jesus commanded his disciples. He told them that they have to preach repentance. He told them that people must be baptized in his name. He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait on high for the promise. And we see in the book of Acts that they went to Jerusalem. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2 and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And those that were there for the Feast of Pentecost inquired what was going on, and Peter stood up and Peter preached to them about the book of Joel and how they are the ones that had killed the prophets of old, and now they're the ones that killed and crucified their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we went into what they asked him on that day in Acts 2:37. They said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And in direct response to their question, Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And so I want to go over some scriptures concerning why, again, baptism is so important. And then we will finish out with going over how they were exactly baptized in the New Testament. We have to only baptize the way that the apostles baptized. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, "And such were some of you," speaking of their negative past and their sinful past, "but Paul told the Corinthian church, 'But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.'" So it was being washed, baptism, and being filled with the Spirit, praise God, which is being filled with the Holy Ghost, that gave them that opportunity to be new creatures in Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh." That lets us understand that we can be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ because of the Spirit of Jesus that now comes into us. There are four things that allow us to be, quote unquote, justified, just as if I had never sinned. And that takes place when I am baptized. Again, in the Old Testament, circumcision was a sign of the covenant. In the New Testament, baptism is a sign of our covenant. In Micah 7:19, we see that because we are forgiven by the Lord, he puts them at the bottom of the sea. In Isaiah 38, verse 17, we see that he puts them behind his back. Jeremiah 31:34 tells us he remembers them no more. And Psalms 103, verse 12 says, "He removes them as far as the east is from the west." And so, yes, today is a evangelistic. It is a pulling message. It is a pulling set of teaching. and of scriptures I am delivering to you, that if you've not yet been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then your sins are still yet upon you. But Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed wants to wash away all of your sins this morning, this day, this week, whether or not you do it today or you do it this Sunday, that he wants to put all your sins in the bottom of the sea. He wants to put all your sins behind his back. He wants to remember your sins no more. He wants to remove your sins as far as the east is from the west, because that is the God that came down and died for us and rose again with all power, in order for the power that he did and the work he did to have effect in our lives. And we need to understand that baptism is like unto his burial. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Colossians 2 and 12 also helps us understand that we are buried with Christ through baptism. It is a dying to the old man. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Again, it is a spiritual operation that takes place, who hath raised him from the dead. Praise God. Jesus was buried according to scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:4. And so when we are baptized, we are also now being spiritually buried with him as well. And so we need to understand this answer to this question. Why should we be baptized? Why is it important? Look at 1 Peter 3 and 15. 1 Peter 3 and 15 helps us understand on top of the other scriptures we've already read. Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone that seeketh a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness. So let's take a look at it. Let's first start off with Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19, and this is a setting of scripture again after Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, and he tells his disciples what they must do. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They went back to Jerusalem, and we are asking, are they going to obey the commandment to baptize in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? Baptized in that name. Again, look at Acts 2:38, the first message, and again in response to what the people asked in regards to their salvation. Peter tells them, again, repent and be baptized. So that is following what Jesus told them to do. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now notice here, he did not repeat what Jesus said. Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But Peter comes around and he says, baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you see here, and I will give more scripture, that Peter obviously understood the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. He understood, praise God, his own language, that the name of a father is an actual personal name, not a title. Father is a title. Son is a title. Holy Ghost is a title. So when it came time for Peter to go ahead and deliver the word and deliver the name, he understood. We must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That is what removes sin. Acts chapter 8 and verse 16. I'm giving you scriptures that show you the only way they were baptized in the New Testament. So again, I want you to take note on each and every one of these instances in the Word of God. We are now in Acts 8 verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized. And I'm pausing there. So these people in Samaria were baptized, if you look at the entire chapter of Acts 8. And it says only they were baptized, and then it tells us how were they baptized. It says in the name of the Lord Jesus. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, I'm going to give a little bit of background here. Peter had just received a vision from the Lord telling him to rise, kill, and eat of unclean animals that he had never eaten of before. And the Lord told him three times, do not call what I have cleansed unclean. And after that vision, there was a knock on the door. And it was men that inquired, is Peter here in this house? They said, yes. Well, there is a man named Cornelius whom the angel of God has asked us to get you to go speak to Cornelius. Because this Cornelius was a Gentile, and the Gentiles and the Jews had no dwelling with each other. So Peter was obedient because he understood the vision must be from God, preparing him to go to Cornelius' house. And he goes to Cornelius' house, and he's preaching the gospel to Cornelius. And verse 44 of Acts 10 is what we find what happened while he was preaching. The Bible says, while he spake these words, Acts 10:44, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. Remember, I am going to go back and talk about in the future here, the Holy Ghost and how it was poured out and how you know you actually have the Spirit of God living in you according to Scripture by being able to speak in tongues. But look at verse 47 to deal with what we're talking about today, which is baptism. It says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? In other words, Peter said, yes, they've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. They have spoken tongues as we have. And God has given them the Spirit the same way he has given it to us. But that means they also need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. We see that in verse 48. He did not ask them. He did not say prayer, sinner's prayer. He did not say, just confess him as your Lord and Savior. It says he commanded them to be baptized. And again, we see the mode here in the New Testament, the only mode, the only way they were baptized in Scripture, and that was in the name of the Lord. When Peter and the apostles followed Matthew 28:19, they understood, again, going back to our oneness of God, they understood that Jesus Christ is the only saving name, that Jesus is the Father. Yes, you heard me. Jesus is the Son, and Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Again, text me, call me, email me, PastorBarlow@hotmail.com. If you have more questions about this, or if you've not heard all the teachings that have led up to what you are hearing right now, praise God. And they were commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord because Peter was walking in obedience to what Jesus had told him to do. Now, Acts 19:1-6 is a very important set of scriptures because, of course, many of you that are listening over the airways, many of you hopefully that have been following the deduction and the chronological order of scripture from Old Testament to the New Testament regarding the oneness of God, the power of the name of Jesus, the understanding that God was manifest in the flesh, that Jesus Christ is literally the visible, praise God, image of the invisible God, that God himself came down and robed himself in flesh. Again, I gave you scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, which of course is leading to the importance of the mode of being baptized. And if you've not yet heard all these lessons and you're saying, what in the world is this pastor talking about? Again, please email me at PastorBarlow@hotmail.com. But look at Acts 19:1-5. We find disciples here. We find believers here. The same way we have listening all over the airwaves right now. I believe you all are believers. I believe you all have hearts. You're disciples. You've been obedient to everything you've been taught in regards to your walk with God and your understanding of the Word of God. That is the same setting we find here in Acts 19:1. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Watch this. He finds certain disciples. So these were believers. These were good people. And Paul said this. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. In other words, we were baptized according to the knowledge that we had at that particular time. And many of you, all across the airways, have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, because that's what you've been taught. And that's what somebody else who baptized you, that's what they were taught. And on it goes back. But if we go back to the original, we find that they were only baptized one way, and that was in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we find it here in the scripture. Paul said unto them, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. In other words, you have obeyed what John told you to do for that particular time, but there's something else you still need to do. And so in verse 5, he said, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Do you see this? They already had a baptism before. They already had a baptism according to the knowledge they had at that point in time. Paul didn't rebuke them. Paul didn't damn them. Paul didn't say, well, you were baptized wrong and so you're lost. Paul didn't say any of that. Paul said, let me add to you a revelation that I have given, received from the Lord, and this is what you need to do now. So what am I saying? I'm talking to all of you that have been listening, and I pray you've been listening diligently, not to just today, but week after week. We've been deducting the scripture. We've been opening up the scripture. We've been showing you the scripture about how God revealed himself in the man Christ Jesus, that Jesus Christ had to become that perfect sacrificial lamb. And I believe you understand all that. But the main point sometimes we miss is that when Jesus commanded them to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's not how they actually did it. They only baptized in the name of Jesus, because the power is in the name. The authority is in the name. The healing is in the name. The transformation and the imputation of the blood of Jesus Christ takes place with the authority of the name. But again, no matter how you were baptized, we see here in Acts chapter 19, 1 through 5, that it is absolutely okay to be baptized again. We see it here in Scripture. Once they had greater revelation, once Paul added to their faith, they understood, I get it. I must be baptized in the way the Bible tells me to be baptized. And they were baptized, verse 5, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So again, maybe you were baptized in the titles, but you've been listening to the Word of God, praise God, on this station, and you've been hearing what I've been teaching you. And you say, you know what? I see it. I realize it. I recognize it. I'm not downing what I did. I did what I did before in obedience to what I was taught in my local church. But scripturally here, evidence not in what this man is talking about, but evidence in the scripture he's reading, I see that the only way they were baptized was in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we understand it is very important to be baptized correctly. Let me take you back to Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. And again, looking at another commandment that Jesus gave before he ascended after his resurrection. Mark 16, 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Baptism is important. Baptism is necessary for salvation. You must be born again. And if it's important to be baptized, then that must mean I must be baptized correctly. I reiterate scripture, Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16, Acts 10:48, Acts 19:5. Look at now Luke chapter 24 and verse 47 as I wrap this up for today's lesson. Luke 24, 47. Again, this is Jesus talking after his resurrections to his apostles. This is what he's telling them to do. Luke 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, in his name, in his name. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So when they preach in his name. And when they baptize, because they understood baptism was necessary for forgiveness of sins, it had to be done in the name of Jesus. And oh, what a wonderful name that is. And when I look at that name, I see I am praying in that name. I serve in that name. I believe in that name. And I must be baptized in that name. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if I am going to look at anything and hold value to anything, I must make sure that my own opinion gets trumped by the word of God. I must make sure that my church label gets trumped by the word of God. I must make sure my tradition gets trumped by the word of God. I must make sure that when I read the scripture, I am looking at scripture to obey it for what it says. And as we walk through some scriptures in the book of Acts and looking at also Luke 24:47, we understand that the name of Jesus is the most important name we need imputed upon our lives in order for the blood of Jesus Christ to be imputed upon us. That was the mode of baptism in the first church. It's very important for us to make sure we obey what the first church did. And again, I remind you, it was the Catholic Church that they themselves, in their own documents, changed the baptismal formula from in the name of Jesus Christ or in the name of the Lord to in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Last illustration I give to you that I like to use when I teach this message is that when or if someone gives you a check, let's say someone writes you a check for, let's make it believable, $1,000. And they sign that check to you, and they say, well, you're a son, aren't you? Yes. You have any kids? Yes, I do. Okay. Well, then you're also a father. All right, that's fine. Do you have any friends? Yes, you're a friend. Do you have a job? Yes, you're an employee. Are you in a sports? Yes. So you're a fisherman, a basketball player, whatever you are. You have all these different titles. All right, I'll sign that check. Father, son, friend, employee, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Go take that check to the bank. You get to the bank. What are they going to tell you? I'm sorry. I cannot cash this check. There has to be a name on it. But I'm a father. I get it. But I'm a son. I get it. Blah, 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 whatever title it might be, I get it. Unless you have a name, it cannot be cash. So I tell you as well, we must be baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. And I'll show you in 2 weeks and show you scripturally that the name of the Father is Jesus, the name of the Son is Jesus, and the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Again, if you have any questions or want more understanding of what we've been teaching, please email me at pastorbarlow@hotmail.com, and I'm looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. In 2 weeks, again, I'll show you more scripture concerning this, and then we'll conclude this section about baptism, which is being born in the water, and we'll move into being baptized by the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Again, we'll see you in 2 weeks. God bless you.